Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back. And on this Veterans Day, we just want to take a few minutes to listen to some of the veterans we've featured on Here and Now. They fought in Vietnam, Iraq, Afghanistan. It's become a very personal project for producer Alex Ashlock, who's become something of our military historian over the past decade. Here are some of the voices he's collected.
In 1969, Carl Marlantis was a young Marine second lieutenant fighting in Vietnam. When he came home, he turned to writing to try to make sense of what he had seen and done. It took him decades to get his novel Matterhorn published, but it's been called one of the best books ever written about that war. I spoke to Carl when he was in Boston for his latest book, What It Is Like to Go to War. It's about the consequences of combat.
We are raised, if we're decent people, and 99.99% of the military are decent people. There's the occasional sociopath in every organization. But if you're not a sociopath, you've been raised that it's bad to kill people. And then all of a sudden, it's good to kill people. And then it was bad to kill people. And it's an extreme adjustment. And dealing with that is something that nobody really ever talked to me about. In terms of the effects, I guess the right word to use is on the soul. No matter what your religious stance is, there is a part of us that is deeper than just our thinking, and it's connected to the whole universe in some way. And that's what gets damaged when you kill other people.
Army Captain Dan Kearney fought in a different war, this one in Afghanistan. He was featured in Restrepo, the documentary Sebastian Younger made with the late photographer Tim Hetherington. The film documents the experiences of a single platoon in Afghanistan's violent Korangal Valley in 2007 and 2008. Restrepo was the young medic, Juan Restrepo. He was killed during their deployment. When Captain Kearney came to our studio, he had this to say about why soldiers fight.
It's about the man to the left and the right. They don't fight for the red, white, and blue. They don't fight for America's values. They didn't sign up for all those reasons. They're fighting to make sure that it is the guy on the left, he makes it home on that mid-tour leave. So the guy on his right, he's going to turn 21 tomorrow. They want to make sure that he sees his 21st birthday and so that he can go back home and drink a beer with them. It's so that the kid behind him can go back and see his daughter. They've been bonded together by the blast furnace of combat. These men are truly one.
Is there any way where my dad is in Section 9 I could work
Absolutely.
Section 9?
You can work Section 9. Absolutely.
Paul Monty launched Operation Flags for Vets after his son Jared was killed in Afghanistan in 2006. He was trying to save a buddy who was seriously wounded. Sergeant Monty was posthumously awarded the Medal of Honor. He's buried at the Massachusetts National Cemetery on Cape Cod, but rules there prohibited the placement of flags on the graves. Paul convinced them to change the rules, and last Memorial Day, hundreds of volunteers placed flags on all 56,000 graves for the first time.
It's fantastic to see people willing to honor those that sacrificed so much for our freedom. And that's what it's all about. It's not about Jared. It's about my coming down here and seeing all these veterans that weren't being honored with a flag in their grave, and including my son. But it was all these veterans because all of them sacrificed. They were away from their homes, away from their families. Many of them were killed in action, and they deserve the respect and honor of having a flag in their grave.
If you visit the cemetery on this Veterans Day, the flags are there again. Volunteers will be needed to remove them on Sunday. In 2003 and 2004, Brian Turner was the leader of an infantry unit in Iraq. He turned his experiences into award-winning poetry in books called Hear Bullet and Phantom Noise. Here Brian reads one of his poems. It's called Ancient Baghdad.
Ash blackened the sky in 1258. Blood ran in the rivers of Dajla and Farat. The House of Wisdom burned to the ground, and the Caliph was trampled to death by horses. This was ancient Baghdad, July and hot. After 50 days of siege and 40 days of plunder, 800,000 lay dead in the streets, beheaded by Mongols, many bodies thrown to the river. Some hid in wells and sewers, Later, they rose from the stench to walk the wailing streets, where wild dogs slept with tongues panting, bellies swollen. Downriver, villagers stood at the banks where bodies drifted past, learning from waters deep and rapid transport how the dead come in constant supply. And if we could stand among them, as bodies blacken in flame, plume upward, smoke flattening against heaven, if we could stand in the house of wisdom as the invaders darken the river with texts and scrolls, the old stories burning around us, the very frame itself catching fire, what would we have to say of loss? Maybe we'd begin to question the word beauty, no matter what form it is recorded in, cuneiform, papyrus, stone.
That's Brian Turner reading his poem, Ancient Baghdad. Well, this is a day to celebrate veterans, but the loved ones who serve on the home front also deserve some credit. Rebecca Sanderlin is an Army wife and mother. She started a blog called Operation Marriage to express the problems military families face.
You know, families are falling apart. The actual statistics don't reflect this, but I know so many people whose marriages have failed. And then so many of my friends whose children are struggling in school. And then beyond that, there's the ancillary issues that are not big deals, but cumulative, they all add up, like little league teams that don't have coaches and animal shelters that are overrun with pets because nobody had anyone to watch them while they were deployed, and all together just this overburdening of a community because of all these deployments.
This weekend, Rebecca is involved in Heroes Homecoming in Fayetteville, North Carolina. That's home to Fort Bragg. The event is designed to give Vietnam veterans the welcome home they never really got. Finally, a tip of the cap today to Here and Now's very own Chris Bauman, the only veteran on our staff. And also to my father, Raymond Allen Ashlock, U.S. Army, Illinois National Guard, Artillery, World War II, and Korea. Dad's not around anymore, and even though we argued about Vietnam, I'm proud to say he served.
That'll resonate with a lot of people. We'll have a picture of Here and Now producer Alex Ashlock's dad at hereandnow.org. Feel free to send us a picture of your loved one as well. Hereandnow.org. Back after the latest news, Here and Now.
Support for Here and Now comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced. The Institute of Contemporary Art, Boston, presenting Dance Draw, an exploration of art and performance, on view now, icaboston.org. And the Harvard Art Museums, presenting Prince and the Pursuit of Knowledge, exploring connections between Renaissance art and science, on view through December 10th, harvardartmuseums.org.